outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of the Father's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Gene. The God Gene. The God Gene.
As Forrest Gump would say, opening my email is just like opening a box of chocolates. You're never sure what you're going to get. And my email runs the gamut from things that cause my heart to be blessed and soar and to be encouraged, and places of people's pain that provoke just that deep concern of, I wish I could sit down with so many people and have a conversation, but know that that's not possible. That God has to be bigger than this. And I'm hoping these conversations, things we do here at the God Journey, are open a door into you hearing a better voice, not mine, His, who wants to engage you and be closer to you than I could ever be through an email. Though, man, I'll do what I can to help encourage you on this journey. In fact, I'll be taking some of that conversation on the road next weekend. I'm going to be up in the Pacific Northwest, actually going there for some personal reasons. And I'll tell you more about that next week. It's kind of fun, but it doesn't open up an opportunity for a lot of you to join us. We have cleared some time out on the Olympic Peninsula on Sunday, July the 6th. If you'd like to come out there and have part of this conversation there, we'll do it. And then after that, it'll be late July or 26th. We're going to be in Fresno. If you're in the Central Valley, want to join us there, you're welcome to do that. And after that, well, this fall, talk more about this down the road, but it looks like we might be in Atlanta, Kentucky, and the southern part of Texas, and see who God has for us to hang out there. Some of the things that we're sorting through right now. Hi, I'm Wayne Jacobson. I want to welcome you to this edition of the God Journey. As I said at the top of this podcast, I get the widest array of emails on any given day, and I just want to dip into some of that as we begin today. In fact, one of the things I got this week was from Kyle. Kyle's just someone that's somewhat local, not too far away from here. We get together now and then, and he was just sharing some thoughts with me about the book I'm working on, Finding Church. What if there really is something more? And I'm getting close now. I'm hoping, I'm getting close to finally putting the finishing touches on the whole thing, maybe in the next week or so. And then, yeah, I'm going to plow back through it and do some more editing and whatever. But I hope I don't have to blow it up again. I hope we're close. I got this from Kyle, though. He says, I was praying for you. I also got the sense that you were encountering God's heart for the book as well. I just felt the sense of urgent expectancy. I feel strongly that He has given you a message to steward and champion that is very close to His heart. This message is a modern version of what Christ was doing while He was here in human form, fighting for the freedom of His beloved. This process that you are going through in deconstruction and rebuilding has all His fingerprints. This process you are going through in deconstruction and rebuilding has His fingerprints all over it, but I wanted to encourage you that I sensed He also urgently wants this message, His people, to know the hope He has given you to share. That provoked some things in me in a wonderful way, and even the phrase, fighting for the freedom of His beloved, that's probably way beyond anything I get to do in this kingdom, but that's something that would be reflected out of my heart and to people. That there's nothing more I want. And the fighting isn't as people would think. It's not, you know, swords and spears and yelling and screaming and fighting for doctrinal purity. Fighting for the freedom of His beloved is, I got in trouble recently. Someone didn't like the phrase, the subversiveness of love, because they see subversive as anti-authority, anti that. And I think subversive just means against the way of the world. And love is loving out of our heart in the reality of what God's shaping in us does provide something different in the world. And that provides life. And I know people who listen to this, this is another email I got today. And this one breaks my heart. This is from a man named Jim. And I read an email of his a week or so ago. He kind of fleshed out a little bit more of his journey, and I'm just going to encapsulate a piece of it here because I just want to say to him, and I know so many others like him, he says, I just wanted to say thanks for regarding your kind words to me in your last podcast. I suppose in a nutshell, and apart from one significant event in my life being born again, I have never felt love, nor have I loved anyone else with God's love. Now that's as deep a cut as fighting for the freedom of the beloved was a high in the previous email. This was, I've never felt love, nor have I loved anyone else with God's love. So as a consequence, I am worse today than I've ever been. And he went through all the things he's tried, from various religious things to some of the common out-of-the-box, house churchy kinds of create new systems, all that. Been through all that over a significant period of time. He says, a consequence, I am worse today than I've ever been. I have a poor 34-year-old marriage. My kids, three boys, are okay, but not necessarily focused on God or Jesus or anything to do with Christianity. Long story short, I got a PhD in every kind of bad religion on the planet. It's all about power and control and has diddly squat to do with divine love. Now, boy, I'm going to break in on you, Jim, here. I love someone that comes to that place. That's where life begins, and it's, I know it's painful getting there, but you know how many people are still playing with all that diddly squat, following someone else's counsel, and that they're only doing to sell books. They're only doing to make a name for themselves. They're not doing it to help people into life and love. They're just got an agenda going. And when you realize that all the religious stuff we do on the planet, including some of the out of the box, you know, love wins, all that kind of stuff, is people oftentimes just jumping in a marketplace. Not all of them. I know hearts are sincere. But if what we're talking about doesn't lead us to an engagement with Him where love is known in the heart, not just a theology to advance, but I know that I'm loved by Him, and that love begins to shape me. And as it shapes me, that love flows out of me. That's what the world needs. That's where hearts hunger. And for so many people, we've got them on various programs and systems, and whether it's actually a corporate system or it's just a philosophical system, it's the same thing. And I love the thing. It's just it's all about power and control and has diddly squat to do with divine life. Because love, the love of the Father, the life of the kingdom is not about power and control. It's laying down that stuff and finding real power and real life in Him, not in what we can do for ourselves. So he says, add to that a recipe of personal psychology of daily depression, sexual addictions, and frustration. Get the picture? Okay, enough of the boo-hoo. The question becomes, is it really possible to experience God's love around the clock and feel the divine peace which actually surpasses thought? Is it really possible to love people from a heart devoid of human need love? In other words, loving people because of my own need. Wayne, I know a lot, but it's in my head and not in my heart anymore. It has to drop down the 18 inches, but God only knows how. And it reminded me, Jim, when you said that, of a podcast we did a long time ago where Robert from Virginia made the observation that it's not getting stuff from our head to our heart. Our heart already knows its love. Romans 5 says the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. And I know the whole thing is I've got more in my intellect than I've got in my experience. And that's what 18 inches is meant to say. But you know what, Jim? Your heart already knows it's loved. It does. It's your head that's confused. It's our emotions that are confused. God has revealed Himself in our heart. So part of it is getting in greater touch with what God's already doing in us. I said, I'm really hoping God might either heal me, lead me to a new life in Him, or experience a life change to make all the BS I have suffered make sense. It would be good to have a fresh experience of divine love and a resurrection to a meaningful life in the Lord. It would be cool to have my own experience in this connection, not have to be a repeater of other people's experiences. And I wrote him back, and I tell you, my prayers go out to him. I think this, he expresses so well. And I'm just sorry it comes at 61 years of life. I wish we came to this point when we were 17, 18, 19, that all man's stuff, but that, you know what, man, particularly in our day, we've created, and women, you've helped us too, we've created so much stuff. You can try this, and then you can read all about why that's bad, so you got to try this. Then you can read all the stuff about why that's bad, so you got to try this. And you can actually spend 61 years trying to find your way into a real experience with the love of God that evidently happened at some moment of his coming to know God at a younger age, and be lost in all the years of whatever. But that you come to this place, I don't care if it's 21, 41, 61, 81, that you come to a place of saying, I need a real experience of divine life. And then not try to give too much expectation to what that needs to look like. That's how I would encourage you. it we almost have an idea that, and we've gotten those ideas from a lot of religious, the same religious gobbledygook he talked about earlier. We've got all these expectations of what that level looked like, and around the clock and emotional, and I don't know what your expectations are. I like to tell people, discard them to the best that you can, lay them down, and just enter into a conversation with God. And it may seem one-sided. You may be the only one in the conversation in your mind. Believe me, you're not. God is in the conversation with you. You may not be tuned to that frequency yet, but that's His to do. He will invite you in. He's going to help. As you kind of stop trying to find it in all the places you were told you could find it, so you're not jumping through all the religious hoops and trying to make it happen on your own, but you are opening that conversation in the quietness of your heart. You're going for a walk. You're sitting in a garden somewhere. You're finding a space in which your heart engages Him, and you just pour out to Him. Someone else doesn't have your answer. Wayne doesn't have it. You know, some book doesn't have it. You know, I get that email to read this book, and now Wayne, what do I read next? And you know, at some point, a book doesn't give it to you. Where you find it is in Him, an engagement with Him. The whole new creation was God wants to have that with everybody. That's what He's deigned to do in our lives. And I got an email this week. This is email week, I guess. This is it's a poem. It's a poem that a friend of mine, I met this guy a year ago, and immediately we both felt like we had a connection, like God had something more in us being in each other's lives. And that doesn't happen with everybody I meet, though I meet wonderful people everywhere. This was one of those connections I feel like we'll explore more. I haven't yet. We've exchanged some emails, but I want to get back there someday out to Atlanta and spend some time with this brother and his family and see what else God does. But he sent me a poem he's working on, and Jimmy Wolf is his name, and I'm going to read the poem to you, so I want to give him credit for the poem. It's called Genesis, and I post it on my blog, but I know everybody listening to this doesn't read the blog, and if you have read the blog, maybe you get to encounter the poem again, because I think it, in such a wonderful way, speaks to the kind of thing Jim's hurting in, and others of you who hold out the hope that maybe what Wayne talks about might be available to me too. And you know, if it's not, the whole ministry's a lie. If I find out at some point that, you know what, just only a few of us get this, then everything I'm doing is a lie and it's a fraud. And I wouldn't do that to you. I've really got better things to do with my time. There is a life in God. And Jimmy's been through a very painful experience in his own life, just something they had hope in, and then it didn't work out. And my heart's just really hurt for where they've been. And it was a foster child that came into their home that they were hoping to adopt. And then after, I don't know, three or four years, the child was taken back, and they've lost someone that became such a part of their home and life, and you know, all the pain of that. And this is a poem that Jimmy wrote. It's called Genesis. It says this: after the beginning, my world was formless and void. Darkness, doubt, chaos covered and hovered over my heart. There was light until there wasn't. And succumbing to the weight of night, the sun surrendered, and I could not see what was good. Dusk without dawn, how many days? The earth stopped bringing, life stopped living, I stopped believing, but not trusting. Dusk without dawn, how many days? On a seventh day, through the stormy silence, I heard the word speak. Rest, I will. Trust, I am. His whispered breath filled this dust, and light broke through, a garden grew, a kingdom came. As I saw him seeing me, my fig leaf fell, and his love drove fear and shame through the eastern gate, as fiery angels turned west to hem me in. And on one tree hill he said, eat, drink, remember. You've known good, and you've known evil. And now you know me. Genesis by Jimmy Wolf. I love that. You've known good. We had a taste of light, and then we plunged it into the darkness. And now, because of a cross, because fear and shame could be driven out of our lives, now we get to know him. And that's my prayer for Jim and for others who listen to this podcast who are just saying, man, I want that to be tangibly real in my life. Engage the conversation. And maybe that's what we're going to talk about in this podcast. Because engaging that conversation with him is so important. It's just, and it's not, I say something, he says something. I don't mean that kind of conversation. If I could explain it to you, it's just, I'm holding things in my heart. I'm thinking about things with God. I am expressing my passion, my hunger, my disappointment, my grief. I'm expressing it to him. And then I'm pausing and I'm just listening and wanting God. And he will. He always does. This is what the new covenant was. He'll tune me to that frequency so that his light sleeps in. His love becomes evident. He becomes known. This is what God does. Yes, it's not easy. Yes, we don't control it. Yes, I can't give you 3 steps to make it happen. But I've had enough emails and enough conversations with people all over the world in the last 20 years to know that even when I get a letter like Jim's, which seems so futile, 61 years, I'm at the darkest place I could possibly be, I get that email 2 or 3 months before I get an email that says, wow, my eyes have been opened. And I don't know that we have to get to the end of ourselves. I don't know that all of us have to get to that point and of just absolutely no hope in anything else. And my heart goes out to people like Jim who have tried everything, read every book, tried every program, been to every seminar, somebody's got this for me. And that's what we unwittingly try to convince people we have it. And we don't. It's in him and in him alone. And value to things like books and articles, podcasts, whatever. The value is that it opens up a space in your heart for you to engage him, not to think that this has your answer, because it doesn't. I don't. But the conversation you can engage of just honesty and openness and raw brutality and anguish and pain and disappointment, pour it out to him. There's just no better person to lay it at than him. If you can somehow, even in your pain, at least hold the hope that you might be wrong, that some of what you're honestly expressing to God, even disappointment at his quote-unquote, your perception of his failure, that you open a door into a space where God gets to make himself known. And we realize that we're wrong about so much, so many of our conclusions about things, the way we think life should have been, the way I would be if I were loved by God, the way, you know, all the things that we do to try and be loved. You gotta realize those things are just not helpful in the way God makes himself known to us. But we feel them. Expressing them is great, but hold it loosely in this sense. I could be wrong about everything. And God, if I am, show me. Show me if I'm wrong. I know when we got kicked out of the fellowship I was last a part of, that was Sarah and my prayer. We were being accused of being independent and rebellious and all these things. And we just said to God, God, if that's true, if we really are, let it be known. Because I really want you. I don't want an illusion of you. I don't want to create my own little journey and convince myself I'm on the road less traveled. And in fact, it's just Wayne indulging himself. So if I'm weak, if I'm deceived, if I'm that prayer, when you stop praying that prayer, then you've got something to protect. And that'll make it harder to find the light. Be open in the place of saying, God, I could be wrong about this. And maybe you are a lover, and maybe I've missed it for 61 years or 21 years, and let him open the door. April wrote this on our blog after the last podcast, the couple with John Lynch. Said, I haven't commented on a podcast in a while, though I listen to them regularly. I want to send a thank you to Wayne and John for the side comments about forgiveness. To open my heart to Father's love and forgiveness, even if the forgiveness doesn't happen right away, and it may not for a while. At the risk of sounding like a victim, I've been wronged pretty badly by a couple of people in personal business situations lately, and though I know I should, yucky word, forgive them, pray for them, I don't feel like it. I'm not sure I even want to right now. In fact, I wouldn't mind seeing a little revenge doled out. I love that comment. Oh man, don't you feel like that sometimes? I know forgiveness would be a good deal. I know it'd probably be better for me and God and everybody else, but you know what? I'd go for a little revenge right now. I tell you, I love the honesty of that. And I think God does too. I think God's enough to go, okay, I get it. But she says, But this was encouraging because I trust Father that it will come. And in the meantime, he can handle my honesty about how I feel about these situations. Right on, April. He can. That's part of the conversation. God, I want to forgive, but it really helped me if you'd nail them first. If you just really make their life as miserable as they've made mine. Man, I get that. It's not godly. And I think obviously April knows that. It's not godly, but it's honest. Honesty opens the door to reality. Can you hold in tension what you feel like might be godly, knowing you can't produce it on your own, and letting him bring it in his time into the light and the process of the way God makes the self known, makes himself known. I love that conversation. I love the honest expression of I'm lost, I'm hurt, and I want to find love and life. And does that mean the little bit of creating the space, I don't want to use too many religious-y sounding words, but just creating the space of time when the heart and mind can open to him. Well, you can do that driving the car, you can do that going for a walk somewhere, but having space, not filling it with noise all the time. I don't care if you want to watch World Cup soccer. I don't care if you want to play around the golf. Those things are fine. But don't fill every moment of every day. Don't fill every silence with a song playing in the background. Find moments where you can have this conversation with God. Express it to him. Listen to what he says in reply and see where it goes from there. And that kind of conversation is the growing conversation. I had another email this week or a message on Facebook or whatever. I can't find it. But I loved it because, and so I'm not going to be able to read it to you, but I'm going to express what I remember it saying as best I can. And they were talking about, you know, being in a family and a cultural situation in which the expectation is that everybody, quote unquote, goes to a church. Now, I realize none of us actually do. No one goes to a church because a church isn't a place to go to. A church is the reality of relationships Jesus is connecting in the world with people who know him. So it's no one actually goes. But she's in that environment. And she was writing and saying, you know, every time she's with those people, it always comes up about, you know, what are you finding a new church? What's going on? You know, and there's all that concern. And she said, I just turn it to this. I just say, I'm on a new adventure with the Lord. And then I share something from my life that opens a door into a different conversation. And I wish I'd kept that. I responded to it, but it has grown in my heart lately. It's grown in some of the conversations I've been in the last couple of weeks, because I got this a little while back. And what is this, the conversation, which, yes, it has to start internally. So if you're like Jim and you've got stuff going on and that conversation is not internal yet, then don't worry about what I'm saying right here. Except maybe you want to find conversations like this. But I'm going to talk for a little bit at the end of this podcast about how we participate in that kind of conversation. Because there's a conversation going on in the world. There's a conversation about God's life and love unfolding in us. And I think people who find their way into that conversation, not just the internal one that I'm talking about with you and God, but there's one that goes on in the world that is opening people's hearts to the fact that they're deeply loved by God. And there's so many sidetracks to getting people off that conversation because it makes people awkward. I think you probably have to be in some level of freedom for that to happen because we're mostly aware, I talked to someone yesterday, aware of how much people-pleasing is in our heart in the early stages of this journey and that we want other people to understand and approve of what we're doing. And so if they're critical, if they're asking, you know, where do you go to church now? And that creates a defensiveness in us that, oh, we're being judged and I want them to know I'm in a good place. And so I get lost in the church versus non-church conversation, whether they're in a better thing or I'm in a better thing. And we end up in this us versus them scenario that doesn't lead to life. It leads to conflict. Most of the Facebook stuff I got going through my page, when I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook, but when I do, I sometimes go on there just to pray for people that I see going through tough stuff. I sometimes go on it just to find if my kids or grandkids are making trouble of any kind. So there's lots of reasons I check it now and then. I don't spend a lot of time there, but a lot of the kind of religious posts that go on, are not the kind of conversation that I'm talking about. It's not opening doors into your journey and how God's making himself known to you and inviting people into that conversation. Instead, it's trying to convince other people that they're wrong and you have a better way of viewing the world. I'm not talking about you guys specifically because I don't know whose Facebook posts are whose. But do you understand what I'm saying? That there's a point in our journey where the conversation we're having with other people, even people who don't see it like we do, is not getting sidetracked into my defensiveness about what's going on in my life or what I think they should be doing that will be better for them, and so that they become preachy or they become the expertise thing that's talking down to other people. Instead, the conversation and the way to do it that brings life seems to be the opening up of my own heart and my own life experience and just sharing something God's doing in me, something he's exposing in me, something I read that touched my heart, or a quote that resonated with me, or just like I shared this poem with you. This is just sharing something that's touched you in a way that allows other people access. Doesn't always process it and tells, this is what you should think of this. And I've seen those Facebook postings, right? You got to see this video. It's the most important video in the world. And now those things are being driven because everyone's trying to create viral. So those things are being driven by companies who are paying people to put stuff on Facebook to provoke the, and they're on web pages that are loaded with advertising because they're getting paid by clicks. And it's the world's doing it as well as Christian stuff. That's how the world's driven right now. And most of the stuff you click on now, it's an attempt to be viral that really isn't that good. There's more hype in the headline than there is substance under the fold. And when you find that, you just go, okay, I think that's a turnoff for people. I think even on our own conversation, if our headlines are greater than the reality, then people are not going to really engage the conversation with us. I'm hopeful that people on a living love journey, learning to live in the affection of Father, learning to live in that conversation of life, that the focus of our conversation is not church and how we ought to do it. It isn't really what other people should be thinking and doing or defending ourselves. It's opening an on-ramp to the kingdom for people around us. Whether it's like Greg and Kim do in their home in Phoenix, Arizona, where they've just got different people flowing through, they're in this conversation with people. And they've done it through books, not necessarily mine. They've done it through some other, I think Steve McVeigh's Grace Walk is what they've kind of explored people in conversations with. I know groups that talked about the man in Australia that uses transitions as a way to be in the conversation. I realize there's some of us that kind of write and communicate and have blogs and things, and not everyone has that gift. But it doesn't mean you can't read something and post a quote. I appreciate sometimes from a podcast when somebody will just take a quote from the podcast, this touched me and here's why, and there's a link back. That invites your friends into a conversation with you. Forget about promoting the God journey. That's not my focus right now. What I really like that people do, and I appreciate it from my friends, when I see a quote, not just, hey, you ought to read this book, it's great, but they quote something from a book or a story, and then they share, this is how that touched me right now. That's the engaging stuff that invites people into a conversation with you. People who don't know the God you know, people who might want to, people who have that lonely place in their life. We've gotten the mistaken notion that people will want to talk to us when we're an expert about something. And I love what this journey does to you. It really said there are no experts. I'm not one, never pretended to be. I'm a brother on a journey. If something I've learned can be valuable for you, come get it. I'll share it as freely as I can share it with you. That, to me, it's that conversation that keeps inviting people to explore, to discover, to be honest. Vulnerability from you opens up others to be vulnerable with you. So many conversations I have with people that even when folks want to meet me, they often start with, you know, getting to know me, and they probably know everything about me, so I'm really getting to know them. But at some point when I just say, you know, here's what I'm going through right now, and I'll just share something I'm learning, something I'm struggling with, vulnerability opens up other people to be vulnerable. Expert chatter I've got the answer. You need to follow it. That turns people off. And the people it turns off, the people it doesn't turn off, let me say that first. The people it doesn't turn off are people that want to be experts like you. So if you're coming off as an expert, they want to get your stuff so they can be an expert too. But people it doesn't resonate with are people who are hurting and people who need what you have. That kind of language, it's not, I'm above you. I know something you don't know. I have something you don't have. It's being alongside people. Opening up our hearts to say, isn't this what God wants to do in us? Isn't this, and not always throwing in the God thing. And I know what I'm talking about here is an art more than here's the four steps to doing it. But you read something online that has an agenda to it, or you're in a conversation with somebody and they've got an agenda that they trying to convince you of and work you through. I am so not talking that. I'm talking the other side of that. I'm talking about people who live freely in the world, who have a heart to engage others in a conversation as a way of putting life into the world, as the passion of I'm fun. So, and it doesn't have to be writers and bloggers and Facebook posters. It really is more important in our personal conversations with people at work, in our neighborhood, whatever, of just opening doors, looking for ways that I invite other people into the conversation of life. And if that's, and I appreciate the people right now that are saying, you know what, let's have a book study with He Loves Me or some other book, whatever. Let's invite some friends. I got some friends over. Let's consider this. Let's have a conversation about it. And opens the door because this is the conversation that matters. It's the conversation of life. It's the conversation of connecting with God's love in a way that makes sense. Even in the most brutal circumstances of your life, even in your disappointments, even in your hollowness and emptiness, how do I engage this God and find Him? That's what we get to encourage people with. And I want to invite people into that conversation, not just podcasts and blogs, though. Do that too. Write about, I get people saying, I got a book about God's love in my heart, but you know, you've already written this and he's already written that. I'm going, you know what? There aren't enough voices inviting people into this framework. There aren't. Not everyone's going to read Wayne's books, nor should they. There's lots of people that will read stuff you've written if you've got that on your heart, just because it's you and they know you and it opens doors. But I'm not just talking about writing. I love what I see God doing in the world. I've been more attuned to it working on this new book, God Bringing All Things Together Under One Head, which means those of us that are following Jesus should be becoming more open, more accessible to others in the world, not God's bringing all things together in one head. So we've got to be more and more narrowly defined who is like-minded with me and who I can fellowship with and can't, and limiting my life. I think what love does is it opens up our heart more broadly. And there's people to be loved. There's people to be encouraged. I talked to someone yesterday who, a few days ago, goes to a fellowship near here. And he says, what I do on Sunday morning is I sit in the lobby and I just watch people coming in and I find some lonely guy. It looks like he's lost and hurting and broken, and I might go up and say hi to him and get in a conversation, and neither one of us may make it into service. And I'm going, man, I love that. Inviting people into a conversation that matters. And let me tell you how I think that happens, because I don't think it usually starts by somebody sitting down with an agenda. I've got the Romans Road. I've got to figure out how this conversation get to a place where I can fix you and make you all better. That is going to so bleed with your agenda that it will not be fruitful. If it's fruitful, it's just by accident or in spite of. Every conversation I have with someone starts with me taking a personal interest in them. Who are you? What are you about? What was your day like yesterday? If I know them because they're a neighbor, it's a different conversation of just life and what's going on in their lives. When you take an interest in them and let the conversation take its own journey, if the Jesus stuff comes up, it comes up because they ask, because you have a question or an observation, and it's not if you died tonight, do you know if you're going to heaven or hell? Engage people as if they're worthy to be loved because they are. Find your way into the Jesus journey or the discussion about the conversation of life. Find that as their interest is, their interest level. We've known people locally we've been with for 5, 6, 7 years before that conversation emerges. I don't have that kind of time on an airplane. It's going to emerge. It's going to emerge quicker than that, obviously. But it often does when I let it happen inside their space. by the questions they ask, by the ways I answer what's going on in my life, by trying to create an open door. And I think so much of us know the Christian thing, the religious thing can be incredibly divisive and kind of push people away. And so you don't enter it directly. You let God give you a way that this is life. This isn't religion. This isn't you're bad, God's angry, you need to repent. This is you are loved. And if you live loved, you'll find your ways into those conversations so that they can learn what living love looks like through you, maybe. But it's best not to bring an agenda to it. It's best just to love people and watch how the conversation takes on a life of its own. Because it will. That's why I'm not giving you, here's the five questions to ask to get. I'm not giving you that because that won't get you there. Finding a way to, the first part of this, be honest in your own. Find that conversation with you and God first. If you haven't found that, don't try and export it because that's just going to come out of need and it will turn people off more than invite them in. But for those of you who do have a growing engagement with God in your heart and you're finding this conversation of life and you're finding things that touch you and things that help shape you and you're wanting to export that into the world, that's the conversation God's having with the world. You are loved. You are cared about. And when we join that conversation, sometimes just by the loving, just spending time. You don't have to, I have all the answers for that broken person. I don't have the answers. I have time. I'll sit down and we'll gauge a conversation and I'll be in their life and I'll be there to encourage and support. And I don't have to have all the answers because none of us do. But if I'm engaged in this growing conversation with God, I can invite others into it as well. And there's so much value in that. There's so much more value when I hate to just focus on online stuff, but, and hopefully I'm not, but some of the online Facebook, there are some things I read on Facebook. As I already said, there are some things that I read that turn me off. There are also some things I read from my friends on Facebook that just a comment, a question, a quote, whatever, opens my heart into wider space. It opens my heart to see God in a different way, not because they're preaching at me, not because they're telling me this is the way I should do and think and believe and act. It's just because they open up their life. They encourage me to reflect on my own. And that invites me into the kinds of conversations that I think are incredibly helpful to people. And I want us to learn that because guys like Jim need that conversation, not just with God. They need it with someone who can be alongside them, helping them connect with that conversation. That's why Brad and I started this podcast, that our conversations with each other might open up conversations between you and God, but even between you and other brothers and sisters. And I love hearing, I do it all, I hear all over the world. I used to listen to podcasts all the time, but man, I don't have any time for that anymore. I have those conversations with people in my area of life, people where I live and work. And man, that's just the best. That's what it's all about. It's not being a spectator on the sideline. It's being one of those people in whom the kingdom is known and then through whom the kingdom is made known to the people around you, not by exporting a bunch of religious gobbledygook, but by sharing the honesty of your own life, learning to live loved and in freedom and in joy and seeing God's fullness take shape in you. Hey, before I go, let me just talk a little bit about the Kenya folks. We've got some updates on the podcast. They're just about to complete. Things turned out to be a little bit more expensive than they thought, building things that far up in the woods. So we've had to send some extra money. We've gotten some extra money and then had to send some extra more. They're just about done. The next week or two, they should be finished with that. The first well they've dug came in with water better, stronger than the geologist had estimated. So they're really excited about that. It's capped off now. They're getting the solar pump and all that stuff set up, but the well's done. And so some of that stuff's just going forward. What has blessed me is so many volunteers. When I see the pictures of these brothers that went, you know, way out into the bush who don't have a lot themselves, have gone out there to dig in the hot dirt, to build the buildings, to put together the wells, to make life better for these people just because they wanted to. And boy, does that open a conversation? It does. Because as the people said in that part of the North Pokot region, our ancestors whom they've been praying to for years have failed us. So now we're interested in the God you know. Man, that kind of conversation alive in the world because God's changed something in us, because we open a door with our vulnerability, because we open a door by just loving people, which isn't even to open the door. It's about the loving of people, and that opens doors. It's not loving people to open a door. Being free to be loved and love in the world, I think that's what the God journey is really all about.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com or add your voice by calling our comment line at 805-539-6980.